Good morning. 8:35 a.m. on Tuesday. Yes, I'm pretty sure. Tuesday, March the 22nd, 2016. Almost said 2015. 2016. So I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I don't have any idea what I'm going to talk about. The item that came across my desk early this morning was a piece in The Guardian from, I don't know, maybe a day or so ago, by Roz Barber, who explained that she would much rather be poor and traditionally published, and recognizing that being traditionally published pretty much guarantees her continued poverty, rather than engage in the distasteful practice of self-publishing. She had a few reasons why that was the case for her, and I respect her. I respect her willingness to stand up and announce them, even while I look at them and I have to laugh because she demonstrates so little understanding of what self-publishing actually is. What self-publishing means in terms of what it requires you to do and how that differs from what a traditional publisher requires. It was one of those, really? Is this why we can't have nice things? The misconceptions. It's like, well, if you're self-published, then you automatically have to publish crap. Because you start publishing works too soon, you haven't paid your dues, you haven't honed your craft, you don't know what writing is about before you start publishing them. And that's why it's important to have a publisher who can then change your story to be marketable, whether you agree with it or not. There's a certain level of authors behaving badly. And frankly, I think most of the authors behaving badly are the traditional published authors who are told they have to have a social media presence as part of their contract. And yes, those are in contracts, those clauses. So it was one of those. I can't really believe this woman is saying this stuff, and yet it's nothing that hasn't been said over and over again since about 2011, generally by people who by their statements demonstrate they have no concept of what self-publishing really means. It's an interesting question, and one we're sort of struggling with a schism between the self-pubs and the trad-pubs in various of the communities. It's very evident in the Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers group. One of the reasons that they were so insistent that indies have the ability to participate in the unpublished authors contest is that indies needed all the help they could get. And from my perspective, it's like, I understand why the Independent Writer of the Year is a different contest than the Writer of the Year, because I wouldn't want to try to navigate through traditional publishing and compete against people like me who weren't. Those people have an almost overwhelming collection of obstacles to overcome. Honestly, I don't. I honestly, you know, I respect them for wanting to do it that way, but I've never been able to see the logic in it. I haven't since 2009, and things have only moved in the direction of really since then. But I have to go back to a long time conversation, a conversation I had a long time ago, an extended conversation that I had with Alex Wright. I said Alex Wright, I meant Alex White, as in the color. The guy who did, Heart. What is it? Gearheart. Thank you. A diesel punk story about a woman who had a heart made of gears and the magic that allowed her to be alive because of that. And I really, at Balticon one year, I took Alex aside and we had a long conversation, and I thought, you know, dude, you could be independently wealthy because this story is so good. Your world building is so engaging. Your characters are so well developed. If you self-published this, you would be, I think he would have incredible success. I really do. I really am convinced of that. And he continues to this day to pursue a traditional published career. He wants, the way he puts it, he wants to take a shot at the gold ring. He wants a traditional publisher who will open the door for him to sell a million books, that will open the door to his stories being turned into mainstream movies, that his works will be translated into dozens of languages around the world. And he recognizes that the probability of that happening is infinitesimal. It's ridiculously small. It's a tiny fraction of 1% in his favor. Good morning. And yet, that's his dream. And he's going to pursue it. And I have to respect him for that. I have to say, okay, you know. He's young. He can afford to take the time. If it doesn't come to pass, then he can always use self-publishing as a fallback. And he'll probably do quite well with it when he does. And I'm pretty sure he will have to. Unless he gets tied up in a contract that where he loses the rights to this whole franchise forever. Well, functionally forever. Until 70 years after his death. And he's left with none of his intellectual property still under his control until and unless he creates something new and different that's different enough from what he's really good at, that it doesn't fall prey to a do not compete clause. And I have to respect him for that, for being willing to take that chance, for being willing to say, no, this is what I want. And not being shy about going for it. I have to respect that. It saddens me. Because I think he could do so much more. It saddens me because I think even once he gets his contract, even once he gets his publishing thing, even once he gets his Monk Post, he gets his books listed in an Orbit catalog, there's still so much more that has to happen beyond that for him to actually grasp the brass ring he's aiming for. And that's how I feel about all the traditionally published authors. It's like, God love them. They know going in the probability of any level of success. Any level of success. Commercial or otherwise. Is weighted so heavily against them. They know that going in, and they pursue it anyway. That's pretty admirable. That's pretty remarkable. That's pretty astonishing. That's not something I could do. If I'm going to be really honest with myself, I don't have that level of wanting to achieve against the odds. I mean, being an indie author and finding an audience and selling enough books to make a living at it, that's long enough odds for me. That's difficult enough for me. I'm willing to settle for Mars. I don't really feel like I really even care about shooting for Alpha Centauri in terms of stretch goals. Part of that, I think, is my age. Part of it is, you know, I'm old. It's hard to... Sometimes it's hard for people to understand that, you know, I'm 63. I might have 20 years left, which is a good long career as a writer. But I don't have 40. I'm pretty sure I'm never going to make it to 93. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to make it to 103, which would be 40 years from now. I might make it to 83. 93 seems a bit of a stretch. So... You know, 20 years, 10 years is probably more like it. Life expectancy for males in the U.S. during born in the early 50s is around 73, 74 years. So I might make it to 85, 86. I lost my father when he was 70. 73. My mother was much younger than that. I think she was 62. My grandmother was 90 something. And my grandfather was 86. On the Lowell side, the Wallace side was. My grandfather Wallace died the year after he retired. And my grandmother Wallace lived until she was into her 90s. So maybe I got some of their longevity. I have some factors working in my favor. I'm still exercising more or less regularly. I need to get better at it. But I'm doing more than most 60-year-olds are, I think. I get regular health maintenance. I have an advanced degree, which puts me in a higher socioeconomic status. Well, which correlates with my being in a higher socioeconomic status and also in a longer-lived demographic. So, yeah, I mean, the possibilities are good that I could see 90. I could see my 90th birthday. I want to be 2042. Wow. This is 2016, 2042. That'd be pretty remarkable. Can I be writing by then? Will I have developed Alzheimer's? Will I have my ADHD bloomed to the point where I can't maintain a constant thought from the beginning of the sentence to the end? I don't know. Let's see. So much stuff could go wrong. So much stuff could happen. I could cross the street here this morning and get hit by a car. So a lot of this stuff isn't worth spending any time worrying about. So I'm often surprised when I find other indies who are really angry. I mean, really angry. Traditionally published authors. I understand it because this woman who is very disparaging, very condescending, very, very ignorant about what it means to be an independent author actually represents a fairly common perception. A fairly common characterization of independent authors. And yeah, it can be maddening to have your work held up for derision in public. Now granted, this article is in The Guardian, which is not normally known for its nuanced reportage. And they make their living off clickbait. So this is a very clickbaity kind of article. It fits right into their publishing strategy and their business model and their publishing philosophy and the whole bit. So it's like, yeah, okay, cool, yeah, rock on. And anybody who actually believes what this lady is saying is somewhat misguided, somewhat missing the boat in terms of the larger world. But I've come to realize that you really can't rely on logic and what amounts to emotional arguments. The reality is they're responding emotionally, and you can't counter an emotional response, or very rarely can you counter an emotional response with logic. Just don't work. There's a functional disconnect there. Okay. here I am at the back gate. The point where I say tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.